An internationally acclaimed photojournalist who chronicled his own dangerous journey, seeking asylum from Afghanistan to Australia, is now about to tell his story on the big screen. Bharat Ali Batur was granted asylum in Australia in 2013. The next year, he won a Walkley Award for his photo essay of his attempt, and with 92 others, to reach Christmas Island from Indonesia by boat.
Everyone was feeling very scared. They were crying, praying, and calling their loved ones and bailing water. Some of them were unconscious because of the seasickness. The sea was really rough, and our boat was on the verge of breaking up. Our boat was like a matchbox in the water. The captain told us, "I can take you further if you want, but everybody will die. Or I can turn back now and we will try to reach safety."
Not much of a choice, is it? That's from Batur, A Refugee Journey, which was supposed to premiere tonight at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, which has been put on hold now until this latest lockdown is lifted. Batur joins us from his home in Melbourne. Batur, welcome to Breakfast.
Oh, thank you very much.
Congratulations on your film. The images you took on that wooden boat as it was sinking in bad weather, Batur, on the journey to Australia, are quite extraordinary. And in this documentary, you reflect on that time that you thought you were recording your own death. When you look at those images now, how does that make you feel? And how does it make you feel to share those images and your story with Australian audiences?
First of all, again, thank you very much for having me in your show. So whenever I look at those pictures or footages of my journey, sometimes, like, it is hard to believe myself, like, it was really true that I was able to, like, come over that. I had experienced that journey. So, like, or how could I come alive to the other end? But at the same time, I feel like these days how the situation in Afghanistan is unfolding, and I see that the history is repeating itself, and I see in the coming days or already a lot of people, they are fleeing Afghanistan for the safety reasons, and we shouldn't be shocked or surprised that there will be waves of people all around the world, like, displaced and looking for safety.
Mm. In your film, you talk about these journeys. They mix fear, boredom, and extreme loneliness. They sometimes end happily, sometimes in despair, and sometimes in death. And in the film, you talk about your roommates from Indonesia and the other asylum seekers who drowned trying to get to Australia. You also go to the exploitation of people by the people smugglers. Australia's hardline offshore detention policy was introduced 8 years ago this week, and the basis of it was to stop more drownings. Do you agree that Australia's offshore detention policy has saved lives and put the people smugglers out of business? Is that any kind of justification from where you stand?
I think that was not... it could work in a way if we had, made the process of resettlement safer and more frequent and better. But unfortunately, we have decreased the humanitarian quota that Australia has each year, decreased it by a very large number. And we are not giving much opportunity as a signatory country, signatory to the Refugee Convention country, to get more refugees from all around the world, including the Hazaras. So I think it is not helping the situation, but putting more pressure or increasing the problems in that situation. For instance, in Indonesia only, like, people have been living there for around 8 years or more than 8 years to get to safety or to get resettled to a third country and most probably to Australia. But they haven't had much luck, and a lot of people we hear every day on social media or in the other news or by friends that they are committing suicide, and also the people are getting displaced in very harsh situations, situations in different places. So I think we haven't really helped in that situation, but we have created more problems in there. I think we have a bigger role to play to help that situation and to we have stopped the boats, but how are we tackling that? What are the alternatives there?
And in this film, you're trying to explain to the rest of us the desperation that leads someone like you to risk your life on a boat, on a journey like this, and the lack of choices you had and Afghan refugees currently have. I mean, if we look, you talked earlier about what's happening in Afghanistan today with the withdrawal of US and allied troops. You know, what is your fears for Hazaras, for Afghan people today?
First of all, for the Hazaras, like how the situation is unfolding, even before this, like when the presence of American was still there, like the Hazaras in Afghanistan were subject to genocide. Like there were attacks on every venue or places like you can think of. For instance, at the hospital, like babies from like 2 hours old, just infant, they were killed. Their pregnant mothers or like killed. The schools, sports clubs, prayer, like religious places, everywhere you can think of, they have been attacked at. And the Taliban have clearly threatened the Hazaras that they will not be spared. And we have seen videos in recent days that they identify the Hazara men and kill them. And they greet each other for that. And also, just day before yesterday, they blew up houses in Daikundi province, which is the Hazara province, and they blew houses there. And like they are joyful after those destroying those houses. So Hazaras are on the verge of genocide. I mean, they are already subject to genocide, and they are in a very dire situation there. And
Batur, would you expect to see another outflow of people fleeing then Afghanistan as you fled? We'll go to your situation when you fled in a moment. But would you expect more people to be taking this risk and trying to take this journey?
Of course, already like every day, like I had been speaking to people inside, like in Afghanistan. So in just only Kabul, almost every day, 5,000 people are getting passports and they are trying to get out of the country. Like they're very desperate. Like in some provinces, even like the Afghan National Army soldiers, like they kind of they left the battlefield and they went into Tajikistan and sought asylum. So, like this is no surprise. They are already fleeing, and the situation is getting extremely difficult for people who are stuck there, and especially for those who have been helping the US and the NATO allies, including the Australian government and forces there. They are also in great difficulty there.
Let's talk about that, because your story is an echo, if you like, of what's happening now. After 9/11, you worked for the US embassy as an interpreter and later then as a photographer in the embassy in Kabul. But you were sacked when the Washington Post published your acclaimed photo essay of Afghanistan's dancing boys, sex slaves for warlords and other powerful leaders. It's a story I'll never forget. Very high impact, but it made your life very dangerous. And as I mentioned, the embassy, you were sacked by the embassy, as I understand it. When you wrote that story, did you foresee the high price you would pay? And do you see similarities now with the plight of interpreters and other contractors who are urgently calling on Western countries like Australia to be granted asylum?
When I did that story, and I was asked by the Washington Post to supply them my photographs to be published, so it was published on the front page, and I was actually afraid that I will get harmed when I was covering that story. But when it got published, I didn't have any fear at that time. But I was surprised how the US embassy treated me and sacked me, just because that they didn't want to be affiliated to this story, and they were afraid that the relation with the Afghanistan's government will be affected due to that. I was left alone, and I had to save my life myself. So I crossed the border, and I'm afraid a lot of people who have helped the allies, the NATO allies, and United States and Australia, they will be in similar or maybe even worse situation in coming days, because the situation is getting insecure or deteriorating the security situation very fast pace. People will not get enough chance to save their lives or go to those bureaucratic process to fulfill every requirements when you are living in a peaceful country through those process.
Well, Bharat, congratulations on your documentary. Thanks for sharing your story with us, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Bharat Ali Batur is an Afghani photojournalist and filmmaker, also works with Refugee Services in Melbourne. His documentary, Batur, A Refugee Journey, was to premiere tonight at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. That's been delayed, but keep an eye out for it.